Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, NFL football fans and fantasy football owners. Welcome to another edition of the Extra Points Fantasy Football Show, place where you get expert fantasy advice for champions. As always, I'm your host, Lance Goodman from NFLExporter.com. Got a great show, as always, lined up today. We're going to cut the show about 15 minutes short, as the New Orleans Saints and Detroit Lions are going to wrap up Week 15. And obviously, with Drew Brees and Tim Hightower and Brandon Cooks and Matt Stafford and Megatron, certainly some of the names that are headlining this big matchup tonight, that without a shadow of a doubt is going to determine what owners are able to advance in their playoff matchups and what owners are going home. The call-in number to the show for this live broadcast is 626-213-5762. The website is NFLExporter.com. The spelling is NFLExporter.com. Also, make sure that you send a friend request and get with us. We're 2,500 fantasy owners strong over on Facebook.com/NFLExporter. And then also, you can follow me on Twitter at NFLExporter. The spelling for both is exactly the same. Again, that's NFLExporter. My special guest tonight is Ashley Williams from Her Fantasy Football. She'll be joining me in about a half an hour, and she's got a holiday bag full of treats and advice for fantasy owners as we approach the last 2 weeks of the NFL / fantasy football season. It's time to make sure that we are bringing those championships home, and she's definitely going to help out with some great jewels she's going to drop on you to help you out the last couple weeks. With that being said, let's go ahead and hop right into the show. Your top 10 fantasy scores for Week 15, led by Cam Newton of the Carolina Panthers. This guy has been absolutely spectacular this year. Don't pay attention to all the baloney that you're hearing around the NFL and analysts and so on and so forth about who the MVP is this year. It is Cam Newton. I'll put it to you like this. If Tom Brady and the Patriots were 14-0, if Tom Brady would have threw for 340 yards yesterday, five TDs, and also ran for 100 yards, then they'd be crowning this guy king. And so I don't care what Cam Newton does, unless he just absolutely flukes out and just puts up two poor performances. And the thing that is really helping Cam Newton out this year, and it's tremendous, I mean, it is by huge amounts. His accuracy is unbelievable. That is an area that he has really struggled with the last couple years, being very erratic and inconsistent with the football. I can tell you firsthand, I had Kelvin Benjamin, the wide receiver for Carolina last year, and we know that this guy is a physical specimen. We know that he's got some big-time hops, but Cam Newton religiously was overthrowing Kelvin Benjamin last year on plays that he was wide open. This year, Cam Newton is shooting lasers, putting it right on his receiver's hands and chest, and without question, he is going to be, in my opinion, not only the MVP of the NFL, he very well could end up being an MVP in fantasy football when you look at the monstrous numbers. 41 points, became the first player in NFL history yesterday to throw for over 300 yards, throw for five touchdowns, and run for over 100 yards in a football game. He is an absolute stud. How about David Johnson of the Arizona Cardinals? If you go to NFLExporter.com football page, going back to Week 13, after Chris Johnson went down with that injury and Andre Ellington went down in the same game, David Johnson is a guy who's got championship pedigree, and he's shown why. In his three starts, he's been over 90 yards rushing in each game. Came up just short of a touchdown last week, but he's got four touchdowns in his starts, and this guy is getting the job done without question. He's going to shoot up the fantasy boards, and I certainly expect for him to be a top 10 to 12, 15 running back coming in the next season. If he can make the strides in the offseason, this guy's got some big-time potential. Posted 187 yards, three TDs on 29 carries, and that's what you love about him. His build, this guy can certainly handle the workload. Kirk Cousins of the Washington Redskins, I think, surprised us all. 319 yards on 22 out of 28 passing, four touchdowns, ran four touchdowns, 35 points against the Buffalo Bills. And, you know, I guess after the dust settled, with the bills coming in, and basically just being a team that's in disarray. You know, a lot of times after the fact, you find out about these things, or if you do a ton of homework on the front end. But no way did I see Kirk Cousins. You know, for me, when it comes to fantasy football, I think that any quarterback is capable of 250 yards and two TDs on any given week. Usually in standard format, you know, that'll get you a nice 18. To 19 points, but 319, five total touchdowns. I did not see that coming from Kirk Cousins against the Buffalo Bills. And so great job by him. Not sure how many owners had him in, but I think considering how well he's played at home this year. And again, if you did your homework on the front side, and I think overall now we're really starting to understand that this Buffalo Bills defense is not what it was last year. Man, this week, you know, this is going to be kind of the theme of this thing. Unusual suspects, and this is where DFS comes into play. When you're putting your lineups together weekly, you got to roll the dice, and I think it's a foregone conclusion by now. You know, maybe one player at each position, you know, maybe three players in your lineup, you just go straight unconventional. And we're talking about Teddy Bridgewater of the Minnesota Vikings, 32 standard points yesterday. And again, we always cover points in standard format. So in your league, like many of my leagues, I'm pretty sure there's all type of bonuses and PPR and all these other things that factor in. But when you're just talking straight stats, Teddy Bridgewater yesterday, very impressive. Only missed on three passes. A lot of those were check downs and shorter passes. But let's give him credit. We've been looking for Teddy Bridgewater to do this all year long. The matchup was right for the picking. But again, like Kirk Cousins, you never would expect for Teddy Bridgewater to account for 250 all-purpose yards, five total touchdowns. Again, good for 32 points. Not quite sure how many owners were able to take advantage of that. Another guy who had been ice cold, and the yardage wasn't too much of a surprise. We're talking about 60 all-purpose yards, only 10 on the ground for Danny Woodhead, but four touchdowns. That certainly spoke volumes yesterday. He's a guy who had completely fell off the map, and considering his role inside of San Diego's offense, that was rather shocking. I mean, he had been putting up low numbers, 2 and 3 and 5, especially when you're thinking about Stevie Johnson being injured, Keenan Allen being gone. A couple guys have been suffering injuries, and he just wasn't part of the mix there. But yesterday, end up, like I said, the yardage wasn't a lot, but all of those touchdowns come in very short. And man, 30 points is what you got out of Danny Woodhead. I know when I seen an owner I played against yesterday with Danny Woodhead in the lineup, I laughed. I scoffed it off, but obviously he hurt me in a major way. Ant Banks, Mr. A.B. Antonio Brown was at it again. And again, NFL Network, I really had to be very vocal about that a couple weeks ago when they were about to play the Seattle Seahawks. And the headline read, the so-called best wide receiver in the NFL, Antonio Brown. And I'm just like, what has the NFL? First of all, why are you making a comment like that anyway? And second of all, maybe you've been under a rock for the last 2 years, but he's led the NFL in receptions two straight years. He's led the NFL in receiving yards two straight years. There's no so-called about it. And we've seen him and Chris Harris go at it yesterday. Harris getting the better of the first half. Banks getting the better of the second half when it counted the most. 16 catches on 18 targets, 189 yards, two TDs. Man, Banks is just a big-time player. And for fantasy owners who, despite the matchup, stuck with him yesterday, rewarded you in a major way with the number that I'm circling is 18 targets. It usually just does not happen to work out that way for Chris Harris. Having to really put up with an onslaught in a quarterback who could deliver the ball accurately. That second touchdown that Ben Roethlisberger threw to Antonio Brown, you cannot place it any better than that. Brock Osweiler, Denver Broncos, great game yesterday. 28 standard points for you. I know there was an owner in my league who rolled the dice, and I think, at this juncture in the season, the trends, the patterns, they're firmly in place. Pittsburgh, a top 10 defense against the run, but their secondary, very patchwork, very leaky. Osweiler able to take advantage. Most of the damage in the first half ended with 296 yards, three TDs, also ran for a touchdown, and I'll be getting into that on the Firehouse this upcoming Wednesday on Blaze One Radio. Went over there. I'm not talking strictly fantasy. I'm talking football. But don't get it twisted. He was not the reason that the Denver Broncos lost that football game yesterday. And all the media chatter today about Peyton Manning getting back in there is absolutely ridiculous. If your quarterback throws for 300 yards, has four touchdowns, you need to look elsewhere as to why your team lost that football game. the recipient, the bigger recipient of his work yesterday. And this was the first time that we were able to see Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas earn some money in the same game. It was either one or the other. Sanders, huge showing yesterday. 10 catches, 181 yards, a touchdown, also at 24 rushing yards. That was good for 26 points. The number I'm circling as well, 16 targets. If you look at Antonio Brown, Emmanuel Sanders, both of those guys up over 180 yards, almost 20 targets is what will get the job done, especially in the right matchup. Tyrod Taylor continues to be a solid play. And, man, I'm telling you, this guy has been solid all year long, despite the Buffalo Bills being in shambles. He's been the one steady piece all year, 235 yards, two TDs. Again, no interceptions, gave you 79 yards on the ground, plus a two-point conversion. That was good for 26 standard points. He's done an excellent job all year. I really like what Tyrod Taylor's done out in Buffalo. Russell Wilson kept his hot hand, 249 yards, three TDs, no interceptions. Also ran for 46 yards. That bumped his totals up to 25 standard points. Russell Wilson on fire right now, 19 touchdown passes, zero interception in his last five. That's an NFL record. Rounding out our top 10, we've got Amari Cooper of the Oakland Raiders. If you were with me on Facebook last week, had a lot of questions about Amari Cooper, and I told owners straight up, he's a guy, despite production, who gets at least 7 to 8 targets weekly. On a good week, he's up 12, 13. And this Green Bay Packers defense, it's really not a lot to worry about. The Packers give it up on the ground. We've seen Darren McFadden rush over 100 yards last week in the secondary. It's not what it used to be. Pass rush, not that prolific. And I thought that this game potentially could get into a shootout, but especially when you heard top cover guy for Green Bay, Sam Shields, was out. I thought Michael Crabtree may have a little bit more success playing their nickel or their fourth string defensive back coming out of the nickel and dime packages. But nonetheless, Amari Cooper, 6'4", 20, two TDs, shouting out my guy Malcolm Merriweather over on Facebook. He is an Oakland Raiders fan, and when he asked me about sticking Amari Cooper in his lineup this week, I told him, hey, you're a Raider guy. Go with your guy, Amari Cooper, and he rewarded him in a major way. Look, we're going to run to a quick break. When we come back, let's go ahead. Let's get into this thing and what's most important, why players were successful, why other players were not. That is the most important thing, understanding trends and patterns, understanding matchups, really being able to evaluate your matchups. And again, it's not about names. It is strictly about the players. So let's run to a quick break. When we come back, it'll be extra points with the NFL Exporter, and we will be looking forward to speaking with our special guest, Ashley Williams from Her Fantasy Football, in the middle of the hour, so don't go anywhere. All right, NFL football fans, fantasy football owners, welcome back to the Extra Points Fantasy Football Show, the place where you get expert fantasy advice for champions. Don't forget the call-in number to the show is 626-213-5762. Lines will be open to speak with Ashley Williams from Her Fantasy Football coming up at 7:30. Look, we try to keep it creative. We try to keep it unique. I'm quite sure on fantasy football shows, and by now you know who the studs were, who put up the numbers. You've watched a ton of shows. They're showing you the top players at each position and how they're ranked. So let's mix it up a little bit. We love to reference the NFLExporter.com website. So let's go ahead, go to NFLExporter.com. Again, that's NFLExporter.com, and let's break down that page, this fantasy football page, and that's the page I apologize you want to go to. Go to NFLExporter.com, click on fantasy football in the navigation bar. We've had this page, not the same exact page, but the content over the last, week 13 or 14 we started, and this was important, and it was going into week 14, right before your playoffs started, but this is what was important. You know, starting off at the top of the page, you've got the top 51 players that were going to have an impact on your fantasy football playoffs, and in particularly, you bringing home a championship. We updated this last week. Guys like Thomas Rawls, who went down with that injury last week, came off the list. You're looking at a guy like Julius Thomas for the Jacksonville Jaguars getting into the fold. But let's take a look at some of the names on this list and talk about what they did for you yesterday. Let's start with the first column. We've got five running backs to start off. Adrian Peterson certainly did not have the game that you expected, and I needed that yesterday. I played against Peterson. I was so happy that those 63 yards was what he finished with on the day. My mindset was just, look, let's keep this guy under control. Suffered a bit of an ankle injury. Took an MRI today. Results are negative. He should be absolutely fine. Quite sure he'll nurse it and sit out this week. They've got another favorable matchup coming against a poor New York Giants defense. But Adrian Peterson, those 63 yards impacted your lineup, but not in the way that you wanted to if you had him on your team. Devonta Freeman, running back Atlanta Falcons, pretty much back to his usual trick. And again, he's an all-purpose running back, so regardless of what he does on the ground, you can almost bank on him getting 100 all-purpose yards, finding the end zone. At this point, him and Julio Jones are the only weapons that the Falcons have. And so this week against Carolina, you're probably reluctant to play him again, but you can't afford to sit him. You're figuring Atlanta should do a little better at home. But again, Matty Ice struggling so bad, it's really limiting that offense. But Freeman able to find the end zone, get you double digits yesterday. Chris Ivory, this is a guy right now who's become really inconsistent and shaky down the second half of the season. Now, look, I'm not going to complain about him for where you were able to draft him, what he did for you. All season long, really. He's still, right now, probably ranked somewhere. Let's just put it this way. He's in the top eight rushers in the NFL. And people just tend to forget that the Dallas Cowboys, they're not an easy out. Their defense, that may be. Dallas Cowboys' defense is ranked inside of the top seven this year. So it was a tough matchup for him. Now, look, he got a goal line carry, but you're certainly seeing a guy who we'll talk about on the fantasy football stock market in a minute, and Bilal Powell, whose value is rising big time. He's getting big time looks out of the backfield, giving Ryan Fitzpatrick another guy to check it down to. And as we've seen, took a draw play in. He's in on passing formations. And so Chris Ivory not doing a lot for you this week. Very tough matchup against the Dallas Cowboys, and he's a guy who I've got some concern about. You know, next week playing the New England Patriots, that potentially is a matchup where, you know, not a lot of daylight. The Patriots, they have a top 10 running defense, and then if you play in the week 17, the Buffalo Bills, they're a team hanging their head right now. By that time, they may not have much interest, so he still may have some value. But Chris Ivory, a guy who you're going to see on the fantasy football stock market when we update the website this Thursday, whose value is certainly trending down. Shady McCoy played against him, as well as Adrian Peterson in one matchup. So I couldn't have been thrilled. I hate that LeSean McCoy is hurt. That is not why I was thrilled. But I'll certainly take the 30 yards that he put up. And that game just got out of control early. And so, man, LeSean McCoy, done for the season. He's got a torn MCL. Certainly was a guy who handled his business coming into yesterday with five straight games. Coming into last week's game. He was on the tear with five straight games, up over 100 all-purpose yards. Yesterday had to leave early, so we certainly wish him a healthy return. And I don't think there's any question. I expect to see him as a top 10 running back next year when the fantasy draft comes around. Your last guy, D'Angelo Williams, again, getting the full workload in Pittsburgh really helped him out a lot. Only 26 yards on the ground, but found the end zone, was able to do enough through the air to get you double digits. And again, based on matchup, you respect that totally. Some other players in that first column, extremely hot right now. Doug Baldwin, two more touchdowns yesterday against the Cleveland Browns, and him and Russell Wilson, they're just working it big time. Wilson on this list as well. You heard me allude to in the intro to the show, 19 TD passes over the last 5 weeks for Wilson. Baldwin, 10 TD receptions in the last 4 weeks. And I don't think there's any question that those guys are going to look and continue to try to make history. David Johnson, huge game he had last year. Again, he was one of the guys when those injuries happened to those Arizona Cardinals running backs. I notified owners immediately. You've got yourself a starting running back for the playoffs. I don't think that injury could have happened at a better time. He was a top waiver wire pickup. You've seen him on the fantasy football stock market. His value took a huge rise upwards the week of those injuries occurring to Ellington and Johnson, because you knew he was going to get the full workload. And he's a guy who can run between the tackles. He can get outside. He can catch out the backfield. His power allows him to hammer it in on short yardage situations and then from the goal line. So you got to love what David Johnson is doing for you. To scroll down a little bit further and you look at your week 15 trends and patterns, and I apologize, we had him on the week before, week 14, so you can go back to the week before, but he's a guy who I told you about certainly has championship pedigree. Looking at a couple other guys in that first column who made it happen for you yesterday, Antonio Brown was an absolute stud. 16 catches for a 189 and two TDs on Chris Harris. That's big time. And you'll hear me talk about it on Facebook. You'll hear me talk about it on the Firehouse Wednesday. But Chris Harris and Antonio Brown, they went at it the way that you want, that you're supposed to. I certainly can understand Odell Beckham Jr., Josh Norman being physical. That is the nature of the game. Nobody wanted to back down, but it just went too far. When you take a look at Chris Harris and Antonio Brown, these guys were able to lock horns and do it with all the extra stuff necessary. Maybe those veteran players need to speak to those young guys and tell them how to get it done. Another guy who came up big for you yesterday, James White, New England Patriots. Certainly found the end zone on that draw play, got the double digits, much better than Brandon Bolden. And usually in matchups like that where the Patriots dominate, for those of you who haven't took notice by now, Brandon Bolden's LeGarrette Blount. James White is Deion Lewis, and usually in those matchups, LeGarrette Blount later in the games would churn out the yardage, have a ton of goal line opportunities and cash in, but that was not the case. I don't know who it is that the Patriots brought in yesterday, but as usual, Bill Belichick brought in some guy who was working at Walmart last week to pretty much vulture up some important yards that Brandon Bolden really could have used. Allen Robinson was able to find pay dirt yesterday. Wasn't the biggest yardage gain, but he's now got 13 touchdown receptions on the season, which is leading all in. Odell Beckham Jr. had a huge, huge drop. The first play of that game that would have set his numbers on fire. After that, you knew it wasn't going to be much daylight, but how talented is this guy? Despite his on-the-field behavior, despite dropping that 50-yard TD pass, still came back with 76 yards and a touchdown to make it worth your while. So great job by him, obviously, if your owners should know, or if you haven't known by now. Odell Beckham Jr., due to his action, I think more than anything, the play where he speared Josh Norman in the head. You know, the league is trying to avoid concussion protocols and head-to-head contact and launching at players and all that stuff. So I think it's right. If it was a defensive player, we see these calls all the time in the heat of the moment. This play was over, just uncalled for. And again, I don't knock Odell Beckham Jr. I'm hearing a lot of negative criticism coming his way. Look, he's a young guy, only second league in the NFL. Every week he's got a target on him. Players are talking big time, talking to him. And so his actions aren't justified, but he's young. Chris Carter, Deion Sanders, he's got people around him, and I think he'll be absolutely fine. Don't feed into all this extra hype and trying to talk about his character. I always emphasize this. Turn the page back to when you were 23 years old, right? Were you making good decisions? Were you making good choices? I can look at myself. Certainly wasn't the case. So don't feed into all the baloney. He'll be absolutely fine. Don't take anything away from him. He's no better or worse than me or you as a person, a guy who just got caught up in the moment and just made some bad choices. Some guys, let's take a look at this top 51 and some guys who hurt you yesterday. And when I put these players up here, this was not a list of the top 51 players that were going to be successful. These players were just going to have an impact on the weekly outcomes of your fantasy matchups. And let's talk about some guys who did not get the job done. AJ Green against the San Francisco 49ers. And again, maybe it was just due to AJ McCarron, who gave us some confidence about AJ Green the week before by really hitting him on the long ball. We know that that's his bread and butter. But AJ Green, 4 catches, 37 yards yesterday. That's a disappointment. That is not going to get the job done. You're talking about Eddie Lacy. 2 points yesterday, 11 carries, and you know, I think that's the problem. I mean, this Green Bay Packers team on offense, it's not what we expected this year. Just a huge disappointment. That you just have to leave it at that, a huge disappointment. And let's go ahead, while we're at it, and link in their players. Aaron Rodgers, only 10 standard points yesterday. Just a bad effort. James Starks didn't do much else for you. Man, James Jones and John Kuhn were the guys to get the touchdowns. I know the weather was a little bad. And look, the Raiders defense, much better than advertised, or maybe what the stats say on paper. But Eddie Lacy, it's just been inconsistent. And you got to feel for fantasy owners who maybe came up. I'm not going to go 2 points, but you know, maybe if you lost your matchup by 8 to 10 points, after what you've seen out of Lacy last week, you just figured much better. And he did have a goal line attempt that he chose to bounce outside, but 11 carries, that's the problem to me. You know, when you look at fantasy football stats, it's about volume. It's about heavily being involved. And if you're getting the work throughout the course of the game, somehow, some way, the numbers usually add up. So Eddie Lacy, a huge disappointment, 2.3 points after a huge game the week before against Dallas. Just doesn't make a lot of sense. But like I said, the Oakland Raiders defense, and particularly their run defense, it was top five maybe the first 6 or 7 weeks of the season. Went through a little a period of struggling. But when you look at the money that they invest, I mean, they've got Curtis Lofton over there. They brought in, he's a tackling machine from the Saints. They brought over Malcolm Smith from the Seattle Seahawks. You know, he was an MVP that Super Bowl a couple years ago. You got Khalil Mack. You got Justin Tuck, Sean O'Hennessy. I mean, they've got some guys up there, Big Dan Williams, who used to be with the Arizona Cardinals. So they're a team that's not easy to run against, and that is something that is on the NFL Exporter website. When you do scroll down to trends and patterns, it says right there, watching out for run defenses who stuff the run. We warned you about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, thankfully, Todd Gurley was able to find the end zone on a short yard, but 21 carries, he only mustered up 48 yards. And so you have to be aware of run defenses. The Pittsburgh Steelers, the New England Patriots, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, all ranked inside of the top 10. If you go to the week before on trends and patterns, it says the Buccaneers run defense won't budge. They only gave up 48 yards to Devonta Freeman the week before. So that's something that you seriously want to note. A couple other guys, let's just run through real quickly. We'll run to a break and come back with our special guest, Ashley Williams from Her Fantasy Football. Looking at the second column there, Lamar Miller did nothing for you yesterday. Larry Fitzgerald, you can find him right below here on the fantasy football stock market. His value is trending down, just not getting the job done for you. Antonio Gates, Travis Kelsey, not doing much for your lineups yesterday. The same holds true for Michael Crabtree. But for the more or better portion, Alshon Jeffrey, Julio Jones, Mike Evans, Rob Gronkowski, Delanie Walker, Phillip Rivers, Jordan Reed, Tom Brady, Carson Palmer, Amari Cooper, Sammy Watkins, John Brown, all very, very productive for your fantasy lineups in week 15. We bounce over to the last column. Cam Newton, Derek Carr, certainly had big games. Cam Newton, that is. Derek Carr did enough for you on a week where they still lost. You're looking at Blake Bortles. He continues to have a hot hand and get the job done. Ben Roethlisberger just caught fire yesterday. You love watching the Steelers play. Despite some turnovers, he's a guy that once he gets it going, very hard to stop. And it was just a thing of beauty, really watching them attack. That was the matchup I wanted to watch. You know, what was the game plan against the Denver Broncos? And it's very few teams in the NFL that have a quarterback like Ben Roethlisberger who has a relationship with his main guy, Antonio Brown, plus has a Martavius Bryant, a Marcus Wheaton, a Heath Miller, a very good offensive line, and a back who can catch out the backfield like D'Angelo Williams. So the weapons are plenty for Ben Roethlisberger. If you can go back to week 13 on the NFL Exporter website, here on the fantasy football page, look at trends and patterns. It says plain as day, Ben Roethlisberger, lethal in the air. A couple other guys who got the job done for you yesterday, Matt Forte continues to be an all-around beast. He's back to his normal workload, so you love what you're seeing there. Jeremy Hill, very disappointing day on the ground. 31 yards on 19 carries, but did have the two goal line touchdowns. And for owners who asked for my advice on Jeremy Hill, worked out perfect. I told you that he was a guy who I felt was almost a shoo-in for two goal line TDs, and he got the job done for you. Emmanuel Sanders, Demaryius Thomas, both had big games for you yesterday. We talked about Russell Wilson. Out of that last column, some guys who didn't do so well. Alex Smith certainly didn't take advantage of the matchup the way that we anticipated. Ryan Fitzpatrick was average this week, but again, Dallas is defense on the road. I should say Dallas was at home this week. That's a very tough matchup. I think without question, Allen Hurns is the guy. Doug Martin, just not getting the job done. Just not enough. Hurns yesterday, surprising. He didn't do much. Doug Martin, coming up just short of 100 yards on a lot of weeks and not getting the goal line carries that you would expect. And, you know, I think that really did it. And Aaron Rodgers, he's the guy more than anybody that I think is a huge disappointment. When you select a quarterback, and that's why we emphasize in fantasy football training camp, Andrew Luck, Aaron Rodgers, everybody going crazy wanting to pick them in the first round or two. There's too many quarterbacks. Stack your lineup. get the quarterbacks like a Roethlisberger, Romo when he's healthy, just too much talent. Cam Newton, the late round value, Carson Palmer, Andy Dalton, the names go on and on and on. And so for owners who invested in Aaron Rodgers, you may have not even played him. I know there's a person, I've got a shout out, Sherry LaFevers on the Facebook page, was able to get my direct advice all season long. She's in the championship game, and yesterday we went with Blake Bortles over Aaron Rodgers, and rightfully so. Again, that's NFLExporter.com. We're on the fantasy football page. We're going to run to a quick break. When we come back, we've got Ashley Williams from Her Fantasy Football. She's got a goodie bag of treats for you. It's the holiday season, so don't go anywhere. She'll be right back. She's got a lot of great topics she's going to discuss with you guys. And then again, we're getting ready for Monday Night Football. New Orleans Saints, Detroit Lions. Money's on the line, do or die, win or go home. That is the mentality and attitude that's going to get it done. I'm the NFL Exporter. You're listening to Extra Points, the show that gives you expert fantasy advice for champions. All right, everyone. Thanks for hanging tight. You're back listening to Extra Points, the fantasy football show to get your expert fantasy advice for champions. And right now, let's go ahead and bring on our special guest. We've got Ashley Williams from Her Fantasy Football joining the show. Ashley, how is everything going this evening?
Hi. Thank you so much for having me on. It's going well. I'm excited
All right.
to see how this game unfolds. We got some stuff riding on it, so you're so
Oh, good. Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Yes, indeed. So let's go ahead and hop right into it. And thank you so much for coming back the second time and joining us. A lot of fun when the ladies from Her Fantasy Football come on. So, Ashley, tell me this much. It's been a crazy year, injury riddled. Man, I can't remember the last time there were so many running backs in particular, but key players at this point in the season that were not a part of what's going on. And so I think the most important things as owners enter championship week this week for some, give me five players that owners can absolutely trust. I think there were some matchups this week, you know, Adrian Peterson against Chicago, Lamar Miller against San Diego that owners felt really good about, but the numbers just didn't work out that way. So who are some guys that you feel are matchup proof and no matter what happens, you can trust these guys in week 16?
Well, some of them should be obvious at this point, I would hope, or you're more than likely not in your championship. I guess I'll put it that way. But Blake Bortles, like you had said, I love Blake Bortles. He has consistently put up 20-plus points all season long, whether it was a tough matchup or not. You shouldn't pay too much attention to his matchups. And, oh, yeah, he's playing the Saints this week. Talk about great timing for you if you are in your championship week. Again, he's matchup proof, but the Heat is even better when he's up against a weak secondary. So I love Blake Bortles for this week. He had another great week this week, as you said. He did better than Aaron Rodgers. People need to also be able to separate, you know, I always call it real football versus fantasy football. A team could not be winning but still throw up huge fantasy points for you. I know it doesn't seem like that would work out, but it does, and Blake Bortles is one of those guys. Cam Newton. This guy is beyond matchup proof. I would hope he showed up. I had Cam Newton, and he definitely got me into my championship this week with some lovely 40 points. Big shout out to Cam. Thank you. But, you know, this team has not secured home field advantage. So this is why teams are really dicey, so I want to mention it. People are nervous, and they've been asking us, do you think they're going to bench Cam? Are they not going to play him? Are they going to play him just half the game? You don't know, but Cam is throwing up such huge numbers. You can't bench him. They were very close to losing this week. They haven't secured home field advantage yet. They technically have history on the line to have the perfect season. And they run the risk, as Rivera has mentioned, of getting out of the groove. And you know, that also can be more risky to players in terms of injury. I know that's been a concern with Cam Newton. He took a very scary hit where he was holding his ribs, and all of us were holding our breath like, no. But he came back, he played great. And, you know, I don't know about you, Lance, what you think, but I think they're going to play. I think they're going to go for history. If they had lost this week, then maybe they would have considered benching him. But the fact that they still have this chance of a historical run, I think they're going to play him. What do you think?
I'm with you 100% in both of those guys. Like you said, I mean, Bortles has been on fire. I've been riding him for quite some time. And like you said, the confidence really got built in him with matchups. When you've seen him play the Jets and he still was able to stack 383 and three TDs. And even last week really brought a lot of calm to me because he got off to an extremely slow start, blew up in the second half. And so yesterday, when the start was similar, I didn't panic. And every time I checked back the page, I seen his points going up and up. And you're right. I mean, Cam Newton, and I would love to hear from you. I mean, I just want to make sure it's not just me. Has his accuracy just, I mean, taken humongous strides and efforts? I mean, that was really almost my issue with him being erratic and inconsistent. But I mean, this year he is throwing lasers and darts, and these balls are landing perfectly on these receivers. Is it just me, or is his accuracy really taking a big jump from the last couple years?
Oh yeah, especially in the deep balls, where he's able to connect with Ginn in the long ball. That's always been a little dicey in the past, and he's been fantastic. And he's just playing smart football. He doesn't just run because he doesn't see his first option open. He sits in the pocket and he waits for a second, but he knows when he needs to run as well. And that's what I love about Cam, is that, and especially this season, like you're saying, he's just really stepped up his game and kind of really come into his own in this quarterback position and a leadership position on this team as well, which I think is important.
Sure.
But the other
guys,
David Johnson, this kid has rushed for over 90 yards the past 3 weeks. He had a crazy game yesterday with 187 yards and 3 touchdowns. There was all this talk about him not picking up the offense, and that was as to why Chris Johnson was playing. Although Chris Johnson played well, so I understand why they went with him. But clearly this is not an issue anymore. He's hitting the holes. He knows his place. He's got good hands. He can receive. He is a fantastic player. And he'll be up against a middle-of-the-pack rush defense. So he should have another really good game. Whether it's going to be a 30-point game, I can't tell you that, but you're definitely going to be locked into double digits. I love David Johnson this week. Antonio Brown, he's been spectacular all year long. And this week just went to show doubters that he is basically a matchup proof. He's had a few different issues throughout the season, but as of right now, considering him matchup proof. He went up against a very stout corner in Chris Harris Jr., who no one had scored on, and he went off for 189 yards and 2 touchdowns. He has the most delicious matchup this week against the Ravens to give up the most points to wide receivers. So I hope you're an Antonio Brown owner out there, because you're going to have a fantastic game. And I like to add the added edge of it to being a divisional game. Players always step up in divisional games. So look at that in schedule two, and I think you'll have a little magic on your hands, Antonio Brown. And then my tried and true rebel, too, was kind of a nice little stand-in with Cam Newton. He came into the game a little beat up, but he was still able to dominate. And next week, he goes with the Falcons to get the 7th most fantasy points. And I think they're going to really want to lock up this home field advantage. Cam, you know, Greg Olson's someone that Cam Newton depends on and always looks to whenever it's kind of a tight situation. I think you can always feel good about Greg Olson. He's one of the top tight ends in the league, and I think he's going to have another good week this week.
I agree wholeheartedly, and that is, I couldn't agree with that list more. Those are guys you can definitely trust, getting a full workload or control of things or matchup. And like you said, especially with Cam Newton and that hookup to Greg Olson, Falcons are a team that they just own. There are some matchups that other teams own. For those of you who don't remember, last year, Carolina went to Atlanta in Week 17 to win that division, and they just beat them up 41-14. So this is something that's been ongoing for a while, and I love that list of 5 players right there. On the flip side of things, who are 5 players that owners cannot trust? You know, this is the time of year. Again, you got to kind of throw names out the window. You really got to pay attention to matchups, to the trends and patterns. And for sure, there were some guys yesterday who let owners down in a major way. Who are 5 players that owners simply can't trust and may want to think twice about putting in their lineups with the championship on the line in Week 16?
Well, I'll start off with the obvious one, just to make sure everybody's aware that, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. is suspended. And I'm sure as a fantasy owner, you are irate that you have this guy and he's suspended for playoffs / your Super Bowl for fantasy, because he is such a huge player in your league. So that's a real killer for you guys out there. So you're going to have to look for another option, But Larry Fitzgerald, I don't love him this week. He has had more than 66 yards in the past 4 weeks, and the Packers give up the 9th fewest fantasy points. They're a lot better at defending wide receivers than they are running backs, so I think we can expect another David Johnson show, and I think you're gonna get about 5-6 points out of Larry. But I think in terms of your playoffs, there might be some better matchups out there for you, and if you're going to play Larry, I'd play him in a flex. I certainly wouldn't trust him to throw up double-digit points in my wide receivers slot. This one could be maybe a little bit taboo. You may disagree with me on Jarvis Landry, but, you know, Jarvis Landry's got a great matchup this week as the Colts give the 3rd most points. But this guy's just been super spotty all year long. He's very hot and cold. And he's not been great the past 3 weeks. And then Miami's offense just seems to be, at the very end of the season here, continuing their implosion that they've had. And it's just Landry, for me, I would really struggle to put Landry in right now because their offense is so bad. Even though it's a good matchup, you're going to look on paper and you're going to see it's a really good matchup. I'm struggling to start Jarvis Landry. How about you, Lance?
You know what? He's a guy who I didn't touch this year. And I'm like you, you know, I think he's very risky because on one end of the spectrum, he gets the targets. And this week he had 10 of them. But like you said, it's hard to gauge when he's going to do what. He's been all over the place, 5 yards in week 13 against Baltimore, a dream matchup. The Giants, 11 for 99. But, you know, it seemed like a personal matchup with him and Beckham Jr. Got him to 14 targets in this week against San Diego, 8 for 54. And I think the bigger problem is really not his talent. But Ryan Tannehill is just completely a guy you can't trust. And so I think that's what makes Jarvis Landry very difficult to trust as well. So I think he rightfully belongs on this list because, you know, if you end up losing and he doesn't produce, it's not a situation where you should be disappointed.
Yeah, and everyone here hates that because he's one of those classic boom and bust players and people like that high risk, high reward. But I feel like it's a risky play right now. As is Javoris Allen. Let's be honest, this entire offense is struggling and Allen is no different at the moment. They have very little going on in the air, which doesn't open up areas for him. So he's had a horrible past 2 weeks. And you can expect the same against the Steelers, give up the second fewest points. It couldn't be a worse matchup for him in terms of a very stout line for him to have a bounce back week. This is not going to be that week for you as your Forrest Allen. And it's unfortunate because he played really well when Forsett went out and he was a savior for a lot of people. But he says he can't be in your lineup this week if you need it, you know, any sort of realistic, decent points out of him. And same goes to Chris Ivory. He's been hot and cold all year as well. He's in the cold streak right now. And, you know, they're going up against the Patriots. So I don't know many people that have played exceptionally well against the Patriots. So I think you've got better options out there than Ivory. They've been playing Bilal Powell a bit more, and I'll talk about him a bit later. They've been leaning on him. He's got slightly better hands than Ivory. So Ivory's just not been quite getting the workload that you would like to see out of him. And then T.Y. Hilton's a really sad one for me because it isn't him. He's a talented player. He's not the issue. It's the quarterback situation. Matt Hasselbeck has even gone on to say that he had nothing more to give last week. The poor guy has pounded into the ground the past few weeks. And we don't have Andrew Luck ruled out already for week 15. So it's just a really bad situation. He only had 29 yards last week. It's just, Hasselbeck having a hard time getting the ball out of his hands to even get to T.Y. for the long ball threat. So to me, that's another really risky play that you can't trust.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that list. And like you say, you know, Larry Fitzgerald, he's a guy who is trending down on the fantasy football stock market on the NFL Exporter fantasy football page. I seen that last week. I played him in week 14, was happy for the 41 yards. I've just been telling owners, you know, he's a guy up older in his career. He's trying to get back to the Super Bowl. So he's kind of pushing his numbers to the side. And I think all things considered, I'm looking at his numbers here. He's got 99 catches, over 1,100 yards, 7 TDs. So his numbers are probably much better than even he expected. Jarvis Landry's a guy that I think if you just look at his numbers, you'll kind of be like, ooh, you know, 97 catches, but his yards per game is so low, 69, only 4 touchdowns, really makes him risky. You alluded to it, Ivory, Bilal Powell getting more in the mix. Like you said, Matt Hasselbeck, poor guy. I mean, Charlie Whitehurst must be that bad that they'll continue to let the old guy Hasselbeck get pounded into the ground weekly. And then, for Javaris Allen, he had one of the toughest playoff schedules. He was a guy that you were able to use in weeks 12 and 13. But when you looked at his playoff matchups against Seattle and Kansas City, now you got Pittsburgh coming to town. He's a guy that should not be in your lineup if you're trying to win a championship. Moving on now, who are 5 studs, Ashley, that have bad matchups on paper in week 16 that owners should be leery about playing them and maybe just tempering expectation, not expecting maybe some huge numbers they've seen the last couple weeks?
Yeah, so my first one is Russell Wilson. So I have a love-hate relationship with Russell Wilson. It probably leans a bit more on the hate side. But I give credit where credit is due, and the guy has been on fire the last 4 or 5 weeks. And he's done this. He's always been that kind of guy that you look at the stats all season long, he's right around top 15, top 20 quarterbacks, And then within the last five games, he creeps his way into the top 10, top five range because he just goes off. He's almost like Phillip Rivers of old who would go off in December and could never lose. That is Russell Wilson. He starts to really play incredibly well at the end of the season, and this is where he is right now. The problem is he's going up against St. Louis, who has a good defense. I still think you could play the guy because he is so hot right now, and they're finally got a really great connection between him and Doug Baldwin. They have found some great synergy. I think the offense is in a groove, and they're depending on him because their running game has obviously been depleted at this point. So they have to throw the ball, so Russell Wilson is going to do okay. And, again, he always gets some rushing yards. You can always count on that. But maybe temper your expectations a little bit. He did only score 15 points in a standard league against St. Louis, but it was week one, so there's been a lot of growth there. So I think temper your expectations. You're not going to maybe see a 34-33-point game, but I think you could definitely see in the low 20s out of Russell Wilson this week. You know, not a great matchup for him, but it's I think you'd be okay. Julio Jones owners, unfortunately, and they have been very frustrated all season, although Julio is still performing incredibly well when you look season long and how he's been doing. But sadly, he's going up against Josh Norman this week with the Carolina Panthers. So talk about the worst matchup you could possibly have. So that's really unfortunate. But with that said, he was able to get 8.8 points in a standard league. Obviously, he could do more than that in a PPR depending on your format. But, you know, if 8 points is enough for you, and it might be, then okay, play the guy. There might be other people out there, but I think you're going to have a hard time benching Julio Jones. And if he goes off, going up on your bench and you lose, you're going to hate yourself. So I think he still has enough potential to put up enough points to keep him in your lineup and not be worried about it. But just set your expectations. You're not going to have a crazy Julio game going up against maybe the best corner in the league right now. So, but I think he'll still put up some points. A.J. Green also has a tough matchup. It doesn't help that he's got backup quarterback A.J. McCarron, although they're doing okay. But he's going up against Denver, and Denver has shut down almost every single receiver other than Antonio Brown last week. It's an incredibly stout defense, top in the league, and it's just a really bad matchup for them in terms of him needing to be able to create chemistry with McCarron. But, again, who are your better matchups? Do you really have someone that you can play over A.J. Green? I would think maybe you can. He'd be, of all my studs here, he's the one that I'd be the most willing to bench. And Devontae Freeman, this guy's also playing the Panthers, who shut him down a couple weeks ago in a big way. I was told, we talked with one of the beat writers for Atlanta, and he said it had nothing to do with injury and nothing to do with him not being back in the groove of things. He simply just got shut down. He only got 40 yards off 12 carries. And the Panthers are as tough as everyone makes them out to be. They are a fantastic defense. But I think he'll do better than that. He'll do better than 4 points, but I don't think you can expect him to blow up on the Panthers. So temper your expectations there. But D'Angelo Williams, I'm a little bit more optimistic about. He also has a really rough matchup this week, as the only thing the Ravens can even remotely do right now is stop the run. They give the fourth fewest points to running backs. So while I don't think they will shut Williams down, I also think he's going to blow up either. But with that said, Le'Veon Bell was able to score 21 points in standard league formats against them earlier this year. So I wouldn't get too worried because Williams has been pretty explosive this year. So that's kind of one of those ones where on paper it's a bad matchup, but I think you can feel pretty comfortable about Williams playing against the Ravens.
Yeah, and that's a great list there. You know, when I look at these names that you just mentioned, you know, for Russell Wilson, I'm with you. I think the thing that probably is going to help him out and you can feel comfortable is they're playing the Rams. And like you said, the Rams beat them early in the season, so they didn't forget about that. The game is in Seattle. And if you recall last year, very tough matchup on paper for Russell Wilson going out to Arizona. But Arizona at the time, I think, had Drew Stanton in. And their defense was able to play well enough that Russell Wilson had enough opportunity. So I think he's a guy, like you said, you temper expectation. But if Seattle's defense dominates the way we expect, eliminating Gurley at that point, you got Kenny Britt and Brian Quick, or he's invisible. So I don't know. His ghost is out there running around. Then I think Wilson should have enough opportunities. For Julio Jones, like you said, you are concerned. You know, he had 7 catches for 88 yards. I think game flow is really the thing that's going to help it. Maybe if Carolina gets ahead like they did last time and maybe they kind of shut it down, then maybe Julio in garbage time. But like you say, such a big play guy, you wouldn't be shocked. Like we've seen Odell Beckham Jr. yesterday. He dropped that first touchdown pass. But Julio's the same type of guy that maybe he just gets freaked too much to sit in. You're hoping at home maybe a little bit better. Showing A.J. Green, I'm with you 100%. He just does not match up well against shutdown corners. And I think Talib did a job on him last year with Andy Dalton in Cincinnati. I think it's going to be similar. Again, hard to sit because of that big playability, but he's a guy that you don't want to hedge your bet with. You mentioned Freeman, and I think, again, he's an all-purpose guy, so it's probably going to be hard to sit him, but very, very tough matchup. The Panthers, they just have the Falcons' number. That's just the way it is. And, you know, when I look at Carolina, you know what's been interesting about them? Their defense has been very dominant. The one game that they really didn't show up was at home again. I mean, the game in New Orleans at home. But when you look at what Green Bay did, Aaron Rodgers put up 399 and four TDs. Yesterday, Eli Manning had a great game. The game was over in the first quarter, and so teams got in strictly pass mode, and the numbers added up. And then for D'Angelo Williams, I think a very similar situation. You know, like you said, who is it? I don't know, Jimmy Clausen, Matt Schaub, you know, Kamar Aiken. It's the Ravens just don't have much to work with. And so you're figuring that Pitt maybe gets out to an early lead. And, you know, Williams is a guy who gets the goal line carry. So, again, Ravens not good against the run, but they're probably a team right now that, you know, probably just can't wait until the season is over. So those are some great, great matchups that owners need to be leery of. To wrap things up, Ashley, why don't you tell me about, you know, and that's huge, you know, and I love it. You guys talked about that much earlier in the season. You know, trends, patterns, understanding matchups is so, so, so very important. A guy I'm going to use as a primary example because I had him on my team and I let him go. You know, I'm a guy who truly believes that I need a roster that has players who are going to perform that regardless of when I'm going to put them in the game. You know, I can't even look at my players on the bench to make sure that they're performing at a good level. Stephon Diggs, Minnesota Vikings, had four straight games where he really did exceptionally well, ran into some brutal matchups against Seattle and against Arizona. But when you've seen this week coming up against the Bears, the first matchup, he had six catches, 95 yards, and a TD. You thought that there was some hope. You really didn't know what to expect because Teddy Bridgewater's been so shaky. But he's a guy that I think if you know, maybe had some room to roll the dice, or, you know, we talk about DFS, looking for a guy weekly who may pop back up. I think Stephon Diggs is a great guy to mention in that role because he had been not doing too well based on matchup. But against the Bears and even this week against the Giants, maybe the door is open. Who are five sleepers that owners should be looking out for in Week 16? We have some more injuries occurred. We just talked about bad matchup. Who's some players that owners should seriously consider about sticking in their lineup?
Well, it's really weird to say at this point that Kirk Cousins could be a sleeper, but we had some questions last week, and I struggled to be like, yes, I think you can play Kirk Cousins over, like you're saying, Aaron Rodgers. And I was like, oh, man, a piece of my soul just died saying that. But it's true. The guy has played incredibly well. It's going to be another interesting matchup for him against Philly. But he's thrown up, you know, 300 yards the past 2 weeks. He's thrown five touchdowns. They're in a groove of things. He's got DeSean Jackson back. They're finally – the running backs are even starting to semi-run. We're not going to get totally crazy here and give them too much props. But they're in a groove of things. So I think Kirk Cousins is one of those guys that if you had an Andrew Luck and you've been kind of streaming quarterbacks all season, take a chance on Cousins. He's proven that he's worth the chance. I like him. He's less in that Bortles range where you feel more confident with Bortles. But Cousins is a guy that you can say, you know what? I think he's going to do okay. I can play him. Dante Moncrief, I was questionable about him coming in, but then this week really showed it to me that I think they're going to count on him a lot more because he's a little bit more of that shorter slot router runner at the moment, and they can't hit, you know, Hilton for the deep pass because, as we said, the quarterbacks are incredibly beat up. So Moncrief, I think, is really going to benefit from that, and Miami gives up the fifth most points to wide receivers. So I think Moncrief could have another big game. If you were in need of a fairly deep sleeper, I think Moncrief could be that guy. And then I was shocked to find out that Marcus Wheaton is only owned in 29% of Yahoo leagues. That is crazy. That kid has gone off. He's had, I think, three or four touchdowns the past 3 weeks. And the Ravens give up the absolute most points to wide receivers. So it's entirely possible for Brown, Wheaton, Bryant, all of them to have a fantastic game this week. And Wheaton is someone that, you know, Ben seems confident with. He seems to be leaning on Wheaton a bunch. So I like Wheaton a lot. And I'm shocked that he's not owned as much as, you know, 29% is crazy. Donshall Inman, he's a little bit dicey. He's my diciest of all of my sleepers. But the Raiders, you know, the Raiders give up the 11th fewest points to wide receivers. So it's kind of a middle-of-the-pack matchup. But they have zero running game. Zero. Melvin Gordon just went on IR as well. They have to run. And he has seen decent targets and yardage the last couple of past games. So he's someone that if you need, you know, 5, 6, 7 points, I think you could definitely get that out of Inman. And then we talked about it before, Bilal Powell. They've been leaning on him. I don't know what's going on with Ivory, but they feel confident in Powell. They like Powell much more as a receiving back than they like Ivory. So they've had some interesting matchups when it's been more heavily favorable to the wide receiver than the running back in terms of matchups. They've been definitely leaning on Powell. I think you're going to see that a lot this week again. And he's, for the most part, been good for at least one touchdown a game in the last few weeks. So when you're looking for someone and you're really digging deep, you want to look at guys that they target in red zones. You know there's a chance. There's a chance out there that even if you get a touchdown, Powell is that guy.
I love that list, Ashley. I love it. Kirk Cousins, I think he's a guy, you know, kind of like Alex Smith, maybe even Tyrod Taylor, you know, who is difficult. You know, I mean, this is kind of like, you know, their first year. Well, Alex Smith has been consistent for a while, but Tyrod this year. But, you know, you get antsy, you know, and Kirk Cousins, I think, is a guy kind of following in their footsteps where, you know, you're finally will get over the hump and put him in, and once he does well, you know, you gain more confidence. But I think, you know, like you said, this week at Philadelphia, he's in the groove right now. You know, Jordan Reed is winning his one-on-one matchups. DeSean Jackson is always looking to stick it to his old ball club. So I love Cousins at quarterback. I love Marcus Wheaton at wide receiver. I'm with you, and I was anxious to see. I thought that was a matchup that Pittsburgh was really going to try to attack with Talib and Harris being tied up on the outside with Bryant and Brown. So I love Marcus Wheaton as well. Very good flex play. And then you mentioned it, Bilal Powell, you know, playing New England. They're tough against the run. And so certainly he's gave Ryan Fitzpatrick another option to explore underneath on check downs and even doing some damage running the football. So that is a list that I absolutely love. Ashley, thank you so much for joining the show today. Before you get out of here, please let all the owners out there know where they can find you if they want to get some more great advice. We got 2 weeks left. And, man, we're all about bringing those championships home.
Well, Lance, thank you so much for having me on. It's always such so much fun coming on your show. And you guys can check me and my two sisters out on our podcast. We record Wednesday nights and we post Thursday morning. And that's on herfantasyfootball.com. You can also check us out on Blog Talk where we post our podcast. And then we are on SiriusXM Saturday nights, 8 to 10 Eastern, Channel 87, the Fantasy Sports Network. So you can check us out there. And we always love responding to Twitter messages. We're at HerFantasyFB. And then I'm personally at AshleyHerFFB. So hit me up on Twitter and we can all commiserate on hopefully our players playing well this week to win us our Super Bowl.
For sure, for sure. Well, thanks again so much for coming on, and best of luck to you winning your championships. You know, I'll definitely be keeping tabs on you through Twitter and tell the sisters I said hello. And thank you all so much for coming on. I can't wait to get that. That was a great list. I think that was an awesome segment, and I think that those 20 players you provided are great. I think owners will absolutely love it.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a good week.
Okay, you too. All right, everyone. So that is going to wrap it up for Ashley Williams, again, with Her Fantasy Football. And we'll make sure on the NFL Exporter website, as well as Facebook and Twitter, you have easy access to her. Look, we've got maybe about 15 minutes before this huge Monday Night Football game. So like I said, I'm going to end the show 15 minutes early this evening to allow everybody to get him. I know I, myself, have Matt Stafford, Willie Snead, and Eric Ebron in one league. I'm down 100 points, but it's not the normal 100 that you would think of. This is a league where for receptions, for completions, pretty much for everything in a book that you can imagine, there's points. So that 100 is a very, very, very realistic. And, man, I know owners out there, again, I would think that Matt Stafford, Drew Brees, Tim Hightower, and Calvin Johnson have to be the biggest names headline this one. I think supportive guys like Golden Tate and Willie Snead, Brandon Cooks, certainly going to have an impact on this one. So look, let's run to one more quick break. When we come back, short show tonight, let owners get to their business right in front of the TV to cheer their players on. You're listening to Extra Points, the place where you get expert fantasy advice for champions. We'll be right back after this quick break. All right, NFL football fans, fantasy football owners, welcome back to the Extra Points Fantasy Football Show, the place where you get expert fantasy advice for champions, and that is certainly what you just got. We thank once again Ashley Williams from Her Fantasy Football, and shouting out Brandon and Courtney, her sisters. The ladies from Her Fantasy Football have done a great job all season long coming on the show and providing you with the expert advice that you need to help you for Week 16, which is championship week for a lot of owners. So certainly that was much appreciated. Hey, let's go ahead now. I want to talk studs and duds. I want to talk duds. I think the players who are performing, they're going to continue to do so. Let's talk about why some players were not able to come through here real quickly. And then again, we're going to wrap up the show, let everybody get situated for the big Monday night football game between Detroit and the New Orleans Saints. Taking a look at this list here in front of me, you know, Aaron Rodgers, it's just been inconsistent all year long. I mean, let's just face it. I'm looking at Aaron Rodgers in standard format, and it's been one of those years. I'm going to tell you from firsthand experience, I had Aaron Rodgers maybe about 3 or 4 years ago. Can't quite remember, but Greg Jennings went down with an injury, and it really, really affected Aaron Rodgers' play. At that time, Jennings was still kind of in the prime of his career, and he was working out of the slot. And at that time, you know, Jordy Nelson really wasn't that established yet. Randall Cobb was still kind of getting his feet firmly established in the ground. But the receivers at that time were James Jones, Jordy Nelson, Greg Jennings, Randall Cobb, and he still had, JaMarco Finley at tight end. So very explosive offense. And once Jennings went down, Aaron Rodgers was inconsistent all season long. He had 8 games where he absolutely balled out. He had another 8 games where he just didn't play well. And I think that's what we're seeing this year. I'm looking right now. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So he's got 8 games already this year where he did not reach 20 points. And then he's got another 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games where he did have 20 or more points. And for a quarterback that you pick within your first 2 rounds, that is not going to cut it. Again, coming into the season, when you see the Oakland Raiders coming up on your schedule in Week 15, you are like jumping for joy, kicking your heels. Could only muster up 204 yards, a TD, 1 interception. And look, it may sound crazy, the Oakland Raiders were a defense that I advise owners to think about streaming this week. It's just the trend in the pattern right now. Let's forget about trying to figure out why and what it is. The Green Bay Packers offense, and particularly their wide receivers, are not playing well. Aaron Rodgers not playing well. Khalil Mack had 5 sacks the week before. We know that Green Bay struggles in pass protection. And again, the Raiders very underrated, tough against the run. You cannot feel confident this week with Aaron Rodgers going out to Arizona, playing that defense. Now, we know, unfortunately, the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, he's done for the season with that ACL injury. So maybe that changes things a little bit. And again, at the most least expected times, Aaron Rodgers has come through for you. But I think all things considered, playing at Arizona just does not look like a good matchup for Aaron Rodgers, who certainly has been a disappointment this year. Again, 10 points, that just does not cut it. A.J. McCarron had more points than him with 11. Matt Ryan just continues to struggle. And this guy, he's done. I mean, I'm looking at his numbers. Matt Ryan has only had 1 game this year where he's had 20 points standard. Just 1. That's right, just 1. I'm looking at him. He's had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. This was his 7th game this year where he was 15 points or less. And so you cannot have any confidence in Matt Ryan at all. He's just struggling. His confidence is down. Lucky to get a win. But with Carolina coming to town, you've got to be looking for other options. I mentioned Alex Smith did not take advantage of the matchup how you thought that he would. We talked last week with Greg LaFortune. We thought that Smith, playing against that Ravens defense, that was giving up an amazing 101 passer rating to opposing quarterbacks. And, you know, I started to go with Smith this week, but I just thought about Kansas City and the style of football they play. And, again, I think if it was a regular season game, I probably would have put him in. You have to at some point, you know, we talked about a guy like Kirk Cousins, Alex Smith, you know, some of these guys who are not that highly touted, you have to learn to trust them. And so that week, if I'd have put him in, that certainly wouldn't have helped me do that. But They got two touchdowns from the defense, and they just got up early, and that's what ultimately helped me kick Alex Smith on the bench. But from a football standpoint, you'll be elated. 21 out of 25, 171 yards. You know he doesn't turn it over, but those are not the numbers that are going to get it done for you in fantasy football. Ryan Tannehill just continues to be inconsistent. If it wasn't for a rushing touchdown, he would have left you hanging with 8 points yesterday. Ryan Fitzpatrick, a bit of a disappointment. Look, 299 yards, a TD and an interception. You take off the interception, he's at 16, 1 point away from 300 yards. So I think all things considered, especially how hot he had been and what we've come to know of Ryan Fitzpatrick, I'm okay with that. I think Carson Palmer was a huge disappointment. Sam Bradford had more points than him. You know, Carson Palmer yesterday, you're expecting to torch that Philadelphia defense, but David Johnson was just such a hammer on the ground. It allowed for Sam Bradford and Case Keenum and Jimmy Clausen to score more points than Carson Palmer this week, than Aaron Rodgers this week. So ill fate, not what you wanted, but Carson Palmer, a guy you're going to continue to play with confidence. Let's now move over to the running back position, and let's talk about some running backs who just didn't do it for you. Shady McCoy talked about, left the game with an injury. Those 2 points hurt. Sean Drone, I don't think people had much confidence in him. He left with an injury, only 3 points as well. Chris Ivory's a guy, you know, 13 carries, 37 yards, and it's been like that for him. You know, he's kind of been, I would say, the second half of the season. For every great game he's played, he's had a game where he just didn't show up. James Starks, along with Eddie Lacy, huge disappointment, only 3 points for Starks because he lost the fumble. Only 2 points for Lacy. That had to hurt. I think a guy all of a sudden now who you're looking at value is going to be back up. Carlos Williams, running back, Buffalo Bills. With Shady McCoy in there, he had been getting more of the workload. Now with McCoy gone, Williams did have 4 carries for 41 yards yesterday. So certainly be on the lookout for that. Looking at a couple other guys, Gio Bernard, he's kind of been phased out. He's just not getting it done anymore. Did have 14 carries for 33 yards, only 4 catches for 18. That's not going to get it done. I think your hugest disappointment is Brandon Bolden. Like I said, this is a game where LeGarrette Blount typically would dominate, and I'm not so much concerned. He had 54 all-purpose yards, but how does he come out of there with 10 carries? Come on, that's ridiculous. Another guy, Frank Gore, just can't be trusted. You know, 16 carries, he's getting a workload. They've got old men playing for New England. When you're trying to lean on Matt Hasselbeck and Frank Gore this late in the season, it's not to your best interest. Another guy that was a huge disappointment yesterday, and this was one that it was sketchy. I went for Christian Michael. Denard Robinson, 14 carries, only 28 yards, 8 catches for 46 yards, only 6 points. That's not going to get it done. I don't know the status on T.J. Yeldon. You're figuring Robinson fares much better against the Saints this week, but that was a key waiver wire pickup that didn't do much for your lineup. We talked about Adrian Peterson rolling his ankle. He's fine. He had 18 carries. And again, that's what you look for. You got to live with some tough matchups. 63 yards, that certainly wasn't enough to get it done. Another guy that's continuing to be a disappointment despite the volume, Latavius Murray for the Oakland Raiders. You know, 21 carries. What more can you ask for? Could only turn that into 78 yards. It just does not get the job done from a fantasy standpoint. You know, you round him up to 8 points if you count the 2 yards he caught through the air. But, man, he's a guy who he gets the full workload, but just unable to get it done for you. Doug Martin, another guy with a single digit you had to be disappointed in. Let's go ahead now, move over to the wide receiver position. Again, we're talking duds. I think to me, that's more important. We know what the studs are going to do, but looking at guys who just didn't show up for you this weekend, it was the wrong time for that to happen. Looking through your players here now, you have to excuse me waiting for my screen to pull up as I'm going through these names here. And again, T.Y. Hilton, you know, 3 catches, you know, only 5 targets. I mean, you can't expect for a guy to produce when he's only getting the ball thrown his way 5 times. I think you heard it from Ashley as well, just a guy that you cannot trust. I mean, if he does something, it's going to be luck. You know, maybe you look at the Miami Dolphins in their secondary, but my God, Matt Hasselbeck can even throw. This guy's rib cage has got to look just broken right now. I don't even know how to describe that. Davante Adams, another guy who just can't get it done. A.J. Green, you know, 1 catch? Gosh, I thought it was 4. Excuse me, let me wipe my eyes away. 1 catch for 37 yards? That's pathetic. That's not going to cut it. That's not winning football at all. Allen Hurns, 2 catches for 44 yards. That's not going to get it done either. You know, you're talking about a guy, Rhodey White, we didn't even know if he was still on the Falcons team. He had more yardage than both of those guys. That's pretty sad. Larry Fitzgerald, again, his value, it's plummeted. 3 catches, 43 yards, 5 targets, not going to get it done. You know, Jarvis Landry could only haul in 8 for 54. Again, a high-volume guy. His value is in PPR. You love 10 targets, you love 8 catches, but 54 yards, that's not the yardage that's going to get it done. Randall Cobb, man, this guy has been just a huge, huge, huge disappointment this year. I understand how much Jordy Nelson means to that office, but when you're looking at Randall Cobb, only 3 double-digit games on a year in standard. He's only got 1 double-digit game in the last 8. Man, he's struggling. His success is certainly glued to Jordy Nelson, and I did not anticipate that being the case, especially over the course of a season. Alshon Jeffrey did get in the end zone for you, but that's all he could do. Michael Floyd, 5 catches, 70 yards. PPR, you'll take that. Michael Crabtree had 11 targets. Again, I said yesterday, or coming into this week rather, with Sam Shields being out, I thought that Crabtree would be able to take advantage of the Packers' nickel or dime guy who should have been covering him out of the slot. I thought a touchdown was in his car. So again, you'll take the 6 catches for 70 PPR stuff. Brandon Marshall, 4 catches, 74 yards. That wasn't enough to get it done. Martavis Bryant in PPR, you'll take 10 for 87, had 14 targets. And I think that should tell you how aggressive that Big Ben and the Steelers were. Just came out the second half and said, you know what, look, if we're going to lose, we're going to go down gunning. For Antonio Brown to get 18 targets, for Martavis Bryant to get 14 targets, those certainly are the numbers that you're looking for. And then a guy like Brandon LaFell, 4 catches, 88 yards, still can't get the century mark, and he doesn't have a touchdown all season. So he's a guy that I think that it's just very, 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 very difficult to trust. Moving over to the tight end position, and this is one where, we give you the benefit of the doubt, but I'm just looking for some big names here who maybe didn't show up for you this week. And as I kind of scroll up this list here, to be honest, it really doesn't look too bad. I mean, Travis Kelce, he's a guy, 6 for 73. You'll take that at a tight end. So this is a week for a change. I mean, I think Jason Witten, but again, look at the situation he's tied to. You don't expect much. But when you're looking at Jordan Reed, Delanie Walker, Greg Olsen, Rob Gronkowski, we know Tyler Eifert sat out this week, Antonio Gates, Gary Barnage, Julius Thomas, Travis Kelce. Those are pretty much your top 10 tight ends. Let me make sure I got that count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So you got 8 out of your top 10 tight ends in fantasy football, all having 7 points or more. You'll certainly respect that from the tight end position. That's going to do it for today, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for Monday Night Football. It's time for the Saints. It's time for the Lions. I wish everybody out there the best of luck to you in your matchups this week. I know right now I need Matt Stafford, Eric Ebron, Willie Snead to ball out to get me to the next round. I'm already in the championship game in my main league and in my ESPN league. Unfortunately, and again, make sure you get with me, facebook.com/NFL Exporter. I'm on Twitter. Follow me at NFL Exporter. That's NFLExporter. I'll talk to you a little bit more about that. My ESPN league, my season is done. When you see my roster, you're not going to believe how possibly could this guy lose. But again, it's not about names. It's about matchups. And I ran into the likes of Russell Wilson and Danny Woodhead and Jeremy Maclin and Julio Jones. And, you know, this guy just had Jordan Reed, everybody on his team went off, and so unable to push through there. But make sure, again, go to NFLExporter.com, click on the fantasy football page. I had a chance to talk the top 51 players with you. Take a look at the fantasy football stock market. Take a look at what players are trending up and down. And then most importantly, look at the trends and patterns. When you look at some of the topics that we had up there for you, look, some guys came through. We talked about the Redskins tight end Jordan Reed emerges as elite. That's right on the NFL Exporter website. He showed you that yesterday. Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson delivering the goods showed you that yesterday. Chargers quarterback Phillip Rivers had 2 games left in the tank. Certainly was able to do that yesterday. You talk about understanding matchup-based quarterbacks. You talk about the Steelers having one last obstacle to overcome, and they did that. You figure easy pickings against the Ravens and the Browns to finish out their season. Watch out for defenses to stop the run. We're talking about the Saints making for a great playoff matchups, whether you have them or you're playing against them. And Bills wide receiver Sammy Watkins finally shining, had two more touchdowns yesterday. Also, Panthers quarterback Cam Newton had the magic touch. All of those were headlines when you looked at the Week 15 trends and patterns over on NFLExporter.com. Everybody, we are on the tail end of our season. I'd like to thank Ashley Williams, our guest from Her Fantasy Football, joining us today, did a great job. Once again, shout out the ladies from Her Fantasy Football, all my special guests. It's been a great special season for us here, and we're all locked and loaded. So look, let's go ahead and get it done tonight. Make sure you get with me on Facebook and Twitter throughout the week. We're usually here on Thursday to get you ready for the week, but it's Christmas Eve, so we will not be doing our show this upcoming Thursday. So just make sure that you're with me on social media throughout the course of the week. As always, I am your host, the NFL Exporter, signing out. 1100.